I wonder what you think about when you hear the word education. I wonder what you think about when you hear the word studying. Or I wonder what memories come up when you hear your mother or your father's tone say, "Do your homework." What comes up in your mind? What comes up when people reference the excellence of education? What is it that clicks for you? My name is Keith Harcom. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And this week is a very special week, as you might have guessed already, as we start off the school year and start off both commissioning our teachers and indeed our students that come here to Palm Harbor. Of course, baptism was also a great part of that too. But I don't know about you, but when I hear the word study, or when I hear the word education, or when I hear the word homework, I remember the tune in the 70s written by Pink Floyd called The Wall. You might remember it. Sing along with me. Yeah. "We don't need no education." Ah! Some of the teachers in my school personified the teachers that were depicted in that music video. Some of them are horrible and mean, and that just goes around in my mind and helps me to, ah. But not all education is mean and nasty. Not all homework is bad for us. Not all education is not good for our head or our heart. Of course, the education we want people to know here, the children standing on the stage, young Henry that was baptized today, is that they would know that God loves them, God likes them, and died for them on the cross. Amen? That's what we teach here. And we lead people in this whole place. Everything that we do here exists so that we would lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's the reason that this church exists, and probably all churches exist, so that we connect people with Jesus Christ. What do you think about when you hear of that? Our value, one of our big values, is excellence in Christian development. Now, that's what the video was referring to. What do you think about when you hear that word excellence? And what does it look like for you? What Christian development looks like? Maybe you've got somebody in your head right now, a person that you've seen be developed and see transformed and see it following Jesus like you never thought that was going to happen. I had a privilege of meeting a guy in 2014 who was the epitome of excellence in Christian development. When I met him, he was down on his luck. He was an abuser of alcohol and narcotics, and he was in this program in Tampa. In fact, I learned that years ago. He grew up in a church, and his pastor, Pastor Max, he put his hands on his shoulders when he was being confirmed and said, "One day, son, you are going to be a great prophet." Unfortunately, this kid went off on the wrong track, got involved in alcohol and drugs and abused himself, and sent himself to learn the wrong things about who he thought he was and who he thought God was. He started abusing alcohol and drugs. His parents sent him down here to Florida to go to the Tampa Bay Turning Point. They call it the Teapot for short in Tampa. And at this facility, you spend 6.5 weeks in this facility where you get clean, where you don't become dependent on alcohol or narcotics anymore. And every week, if you're a good kid, if you're a good student, you get to go to church. And if you'd done well, you could write your name on the wall. It just said church, and you'd write your name on the wall, and you could go to church. Now, the church that this kid went to was my church. Yeah, I was really happy. And every week at 11 o'clock, there was 12 of them, that's how many fitted in the van. And every week at 11 o'clock, the 12 people would come in down the front, and they'd walk down the middle aisle, and they would sit at the front every week. And they were so happy to be there. You got a break from the turning point. And this kid was in that group. He got clean. He got cleaned up. In fact, he got all his teeth straightened for a change. And he played in the band. His sponsor gave him a guitar, and he learned three chords, and he could play music, right? He could play in the worship band. He was doing so well that the church hired him as the youth director, and he told the kids there and educated the kids about what he now relearned. He'd now relearned the fact that God loves him, God likes him, and he died for him. He kind of relearned that. And he started to tell the students and the youth that in the church that he was now the youth director in. He met a girl. That happens to us. He met a girl in NA, and this girl he wanted to get married to. He came to me and says, would you do some counseling, some premarital counseling with us and marry us? I was like, sure, that's great. They got married, great wedding. And then he tells me the next time we meet together, like, would you mentor me because I'm answering a call to ministry? I want to be a pastor. Like, well, yeah, sure. Jeez, that blew me away. And so he started on the path to ministry. And he needed to get his education, of course. He needed to have a degree. And he went to Trinity College in Florida. And he did so well that he got a 4.0 GPA. And he invited me to his graduation, to his commencement. And he was the guest speaker. And he was the most tattooed valedictorian that Trinity College had ever seen. He had all his garb on, you know, had all those ropes and stuff. He'd done so well. I was so proud of him. But it didn't stop there. His education about who he was. Then he went on to seminary. He says, I want to go to the seminary that you went to. And I want to go to Asbury Theological Seminary. I thought, okay, great. We got him signed up. We got him on the fast track. And he had a 3.8 GPA at the end of his time there at Asbury. My professor, his professor, he's been here before to preach, Dr. Brian Russell, said to me, I am so glad that this kid doesn't fry his brains anymore with alcohol and narcotics because he's got a brilliant mind. Update. In May this year, we go to his graduation commencement from the seminary. Not only does he graduate with a 3.8 GPA, but he walks out and the professor walks out. It was one of the last awards to be given. He says, this kid has had a lot of rough road in his life. This guy has had a lot of rough, bumpy ground in his life, but now he does triathlons. He's a father. He's got a baby now, baby Ezra. And not only that, but he has won the Hebrew Award, which is basically the seminary's awareness of how good he's done in interpreting the Bible. I was like, I was crying in the back, and it's so sad. Unbelievable. This guy, his name is Tim Barton. You've heard him here, preach here. He was down in Dunedin not long ago. And now, today, as of now, he's got his own church over in Fort Pierce, and he is preaching and teaching people and leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Sermon over, right? Not so easy. What did Jesus say about education? What did Jesus say about what we should learn? What did he say about how we should get this information over to other people? Well, Jesus was always teaching and always discipling as he walked around. But this one particular occasion, after the resurrection was over, he seen the disciples on the lake. The seven disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. It was after the resurrection. They were a little unsure about what was going on. They weren't sure why Jesus died. They remembered him saying a few things, but they just couldn't figure out after 3 years what they should be doing. So they went fishing, what they usually do. And as they're out on the lake, this guy walks by down the street. And they hadn't caught anything all night. Walks down the beach in Galilee. And he shouts at them, says, hey, why don't you put your net on the other side of the boat? You'll get more fish that way. Fishermen were like, well, what do you know? I throw the net on the other side. And sure enough, they pull in 157 fish. Some scholars say that this 157 signified how many types of fish were in the Sea of Galilee. Some say we said this number to signify how many different types of people that we should be fishing for. Regardless, Jesus said, bring those fish here. we're going to have breakfast together. And they drag the fish onto the shore. And this is where we are in our text today. We're in John chapter 21. John 21, if you've got your Bibles with you, open them up. If you've got a phone with it on, or if you're online, just open up another tab and Google John 21. This is where we are. We just sat on the beach, and the disciples, the seven disciples, come out to meet with Jesus. They don't recognize him at first, but they kind of think it's him, and they're not too sure. They don't want to say anything. Simon Peter, the leader of disciples, is looking at Jesus. And Simon Peter, always the gregarious one, he's like, okay, what next? What goes on next? What should we do? He says this. After breakfast, this is verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Now, this is the same Simon Peter who denied Jesus three times. That's really important when we get to the end of the text. Simon Peter is the leader of the disciples, the de facto leader of the disciples. He's the one that was given a new name. His name was Simon. And now when Jesus met him, it was so transformative that he gave him a new name, Simon Peter. So he's sitting there looking at Jesus. He said, what do you want us to do? And he says, do you love me? And he says, of course I do. And Jesus gives him a direction. What does it say? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Well, what does Jesus mean by lambs? Well, first of all, lambs means the young children. The young children we've seen up here today, it means young Henry and the two others that we just baptized in the first service. Young children, young people who are figuring out what life is about and figuring about how Jesus moves in and amongst our lives. It is also new people who have just found out, like Timmy, that actually Jesus loves them and Jesus likes them. And realizing that no matter what age you're in, you can still be a lamb. So new people and new believers, new people that are deciding to follow Jesus. So he says, feed my lambs. Now, we've been feeding lambs for a long time around here. In fact, Grandma Bendis is actually a part of the Stars and Comets and our camp, Camp Cuba. Every year we have this place full of people, a camp. We just celebrated 30 years, and we have a whole group of people here called Lambs, and we're leading them to Jesus here in one of our programs. Stars and Comets has been gone since 1981, and now at 190 children this year for our before and after care, which we are really proud of, and they're leading them to Christ there. On top of this, we've got Wesley Christian School, has been going for 26 years, has grown to up to 515 students now, 515 from K through 8. And of course, Robin's Nest, children that we are bringing in here in the morning between 9 and 12 and leading them and teaching them early. One of my favorite things to do is to do chapel here on Monday and Tuesday. And those children, that program has grown and the lambs are being led to Christ. Amen? So that's the first thing Jesus says. Feed, provide programs, provide places, provide pathways, provide pipelines, provide these things for my lambs. And you guys just pledged that to Henry and his family, that we would be a place where the lambs can grow. Okay, so what else did Jesus say? He asked the same question again, verse 16. Verse 16, Jesus repeats the question. Verse 16 says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? So this time he went back to his original name, not the new name that Jesus said. So a little deeper. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. So different than the first one. The first one's feed my lambs. This one is take care of my sheep. Now, sheep are people who are already following Jesus, that they decided in their heart and in their head and their heart, that they want to follow Jesus. They've asked Jesus into their life. They've decided, oh yeah, I want to do that. You are the sheep. You're the people who are following the great shepherd. And Jesus says, take care, Simon Peter. Take care of these people. At Palm Harbor, we've been doing that. Pastor Kathy has developed a care network to take care of people, take care of people who are sick, in need of counsel, whether it be for your mental health, emotional health, relational health, physical, or even spiritual health. We must take care of our sheep. And there's a network of people that do that here at Palm Harbor. In fact, we'll have a funeral, like Pastor Kathy mentioned, this afternoon for a dear congregation member here at 4 o'clock. Take care of the sheep. That's the second thing. Okay, so that's really important. It's the second thing that Jesus said to you. The third thing he says, so a third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This is verse 17. Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question. A third time he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And this time Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So the first one is, feed my lambs. The second one is, take care of my sheep. And then the last one is, feed my sheep. That means we must feed those of us who are decided already to follow Jesus. We still need feeding. We still need classes. We still need Financial Peace University. We still need Bible studies. And we'll do all these in the fall. We still need programs to help us to grow, to become better followers of Jesus. Amen? I need it, you need it, everybody around us, those of us who follow Christ, we need that. We need places for us to grow. We need a place, we need a pathway, and we need a pipeline for us to continue on in this beautiful, beautiful cycle of knowing more about ourselves and knowing more about God. Education, knowing more about myself and knowing more about God is really important. And Jesus wants us to be educated. In fact, if you are a teacher, if you are somebody who leads people, if you are an educator, then these three, there are no greater things to look toward than these three principles. To feed lambs, take care of the sheep, and to feed the sheep. So there's the three things. Now, Jesus said these things to reinstate people. And Peter was like, what the heck? You know I love you. What are you going on about? Like, you just asked me this three times. I'm getting offended now. What the heck are you talking about? Of course, Jesus said this to reinstate Peter because Peter had denied Jesus how many times? Three. Already. He denied him when he was in the courtyard. He denied him. He even swore at the girl that was accusing him. And yet Jesus still reinstates Peter. He still reinstates me. He still reinstates you. He says, come, come. I don't care. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you another opportunity. So he reinstates Peter with these three absolutes. Yeah, and later on he'll say, on this rock I will build my church. Peter, Petros, Petra, rock. On this rock I will build my church. For you to lead and teach. And then 18 to 19, the verses 18 to 19 in chapter 21 are really interesting. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, what does he say? Say it out loud. Follow me. Follow me. So Simon Peter, the leader of the disciples, the de facto leader, the gregarious one, the one who's like, okay, me, Lord. He jumps out into the sea. He jumps out to follow Jesus. And me, I want to do it. And he says to him, this is the leader. The one who's already given his life to follow Christ. The one who's been following Jesus for 3 years, the one who considers Jesus his master, says to him, follow me. That means every day that we take a step, that every day that we get out of bed, we desire to follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me and you will do these three things. You will lead, you will teach, you will teach the lambs, you will feed the lambs, you will take care of the sheep, and you will feed the sheep. There is no greater commission than this for those of us that teach, for those of us who stand up and speak to people. Jesus wants us to be excellent when we do this. Now, maybe when you hear the word excellent, you hear, oh, straight A student. Maybe when you hear excellence, you think of something really finicky and somebody really annoying that wanted it done a specific way. Maybe when you hear the word excellence, it makes you nervous and you think that it has to be done a specific way. Paul, the one responsible for communicating the gospel in and around the Mediterranean, throughout Greece and everywhere, writes this best when he's encouraging his church in Philippi. We're going to do a big deep dive on this in the fall, by the way, on Philippians. But when he's writing to this church in Philippi, he writes in this encouraging note, and this he says it best here when he's writing to the other church members. He says, "And now, dear brothers, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, and what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." It goes on to say, "Keep putting into practice everything that you've learned and received, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing." Now, that word there, excellent, the Greek for that word is arete. Arete means things that are virtuous, things that are good, things that are wonderful. I had the privilege of seeing Timmy Barton transform in excellence by seeing things that were virtuous, seeing things that were wonderful, seeing things that were lovely. And if you're a teacher today, if you're an educator, if you're an educational staff, I want to commission you and encourage you to look for things that are excellent, things that are wonderful, things that are good, things that have virtue in them. It doesn't mean that everybody has to be a straight A student. Otherwise, I failed. It means that we're looking for places, we're looking for ways where people are following Jesus. We're looking for things that are beautiful. God wants us to be excellent. He wants us to find the place where you can be excellent. He wants us to seek wonder, to seek virtue, and to seek it in the lambs, to seek it in the sheep, to grow and to move people on to a place where they can see more about God and more about ourselves. And if you're a teacher today, I want to commend to you to be excellent. I'm going to ask that our teachers stand in each of the programs, and I'm commission you to be excellent. So if you work in Robber's Nest, please stand today. One by one over here. If you are at Stars and Comets, if you are a part of the staff there, I can see you back there. But if you're in Stars and Comets, and if you're in Robin's Nest, please stand. Thank you, Jack. And if you are in part of Westlake, we had a lot of Westlake here, the first service, Westlake Christian School, please stand. If you're a teacher or an educator, see you at the back over there. And if you are, what am I missing? Camp Cover. If you're ever a Camp Cover staff, educator, please stand. Good job, Allison. Also, if you are in the school system, if you are in a care program for school, if you are part of charter schools and you're an educator there or on the educational staff, please stand. I want you to be excellent. If you are standing next to a teacher, put your hand on them. Put a hand on each other. All you here, put a hand on each other. If you're not standing next to them, reach out. Reach out a hand there. This family right here. Yeah, good job. Reach out at the back. Reach out a hand. Touch the people that are standing. Good. The rest of you just raise a hand up towards an educator. By way of blessing and by way of wanting to seek out the lambs for them to be excellent, let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, guide us, guide these teachers, guide these educators, guide these staff and administrators as they lead people to you, as they feed the lambs, as they feed the sheep, whatever they are doing, Lord, may they be excellent. And may we look for places where we can lead children to a life-changing relationship with you. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all of the teachers and all the staff and all the educators that care about kids, all of them say, amen. Amen.